Neuje.
Globalization, to a large extent, is actually removing responsibility from people within their own locality to take care of themselves.
We know that people do not know who rules or why and how he rules. And yet they know that there is a power that certainly rules.
When we travel 1,000 miles in an hour and a half, we have traveled through whole areas of existence which we have not necessarily gained. We will pop into a Hindu village, but we won't know a damn thing about that Hindu village.
If you push that all the way, you see, what it means is that we will increasingly tend to inhabit all of these areas in depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera. Vsako drugo sredo poročamo o južni polobli. Točno opoldan.
Drage poslušalke, ceni poslušalci, lepo pozdravljeni v peti izdaji oddaje Južna hemisfera. Zdaj, v prejšnji ediciji smo predstavili karibsko državo Haiti. Tudi ta teden postajamo v Karibskem morju. Zahodno od Haitija se nahaja država z imenom Jamajka. Država, ki ima slabe 3 milijone prebivalcev in ki vsi nekako poznamo po pozitivnem odnosu do življenja, letos avgusta praznuje 50-letne odvisnosti od Britanskega imperija. V vseh teh letih se je pregovorno srečno jamajško društvo obadilo številnimi težavami, predvsem tistimi, ki so finančne traje. Leto, v katero so se zborili politično neodvisnost, torej leto 1962, je bilo polno upanja za jamajčane. Tudi kot vemo, je vsak jutri nov dan in tudi na Karibih ni nič drugače. Od začetne gospodarske uspešnosti in splošnega blagostanja v državi sledi padec. Naravne lepote ter naivnost lokalnih politikov so spretno izkoristili podjetneži, ki so državi gradili hotele in ostalo turistično infrastrukturo. Nizki stroški dela in nižji davki na investicije so v revščino pahnili tako državljane kot njihovo državo. Ob izredno nizkih plačah prigradnih hotelov so jamajški delci ostali brez kruha, v vseh novih turističnih restauracijah pa so potrebna živila uvažali. Jamajški kmet je bil s tem mrtev. Na začetek smo se pogovarjali z doktorjem Damienom Kingom, predstojnikom oddelka za ekonomijo na Univerzi zahodnih Antilov in predsednikom inštituta za karibske študije.
Well, it is true that when Jamaica became independent in 1962, that the economy had been growing well at a rate of 5-6% a year and continued to do so up until the early 1970s. But that economic growth was actually illusory because it was not economic growth that was generated in the same way that the American economy or the South Korean economy has been growing rapidly by having the adoption of new technology and new innovations that make production more efficient and that create new products that people want. It was actually as a result of the US economy having its own post-war expansion and needing more raw materials. So the bauxite industry grew, and as the US economy became wealthier, they needed somewhere to spend their vacations, and so the tourist industry grew. And on the basis of just extracting more bauxite and building more hotels, Jamaica was able to achieve a fair amount of economic growth. But there was nothing dynamic about it. There was nothing innovative about it. And so as soon as that expansion became exhausted, there was no capacity in the Jamaican economy to have a more self-sustaining growth process. And so it was going to collapse anyway. Now, what made it even worse was that in the early 1970s, the government that came to power decided to pursue a closed economic policy where they severely restricted foreign investment and imports into the economy. And so that caused the economy to to stagnate and in fact contract much more than would have been the case if, you know, just based on the ending of the bauxite and tourist expansion.
Za neodvisnost v Jamajko pride veliko nadušenje in optimizem med ljudmi, dobra atmosfera, tudi nov dan prinese novo resnico. Več o tem nam je povedala Nicole Smith Johnson, mlada raziskovalka na Inštitutu za karibske študije.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think, you know, because if you watch videos, if you watch footage or you hear the songs of the period, or even, you know, when I talk to my parents or my grandparents about independence, it was a very, very hopeful and very joyous moment for the country. And I think that the disappointment afterwards of realizing that independence was a lot more complex than we thought it was going to be. You know what I mean? Shortly after independence, like everybody else, we went into the oil crisis and we had all of these issues and we didn't really know how we were going to really pay for everything. And then, of course, the IMF and structural adjustment. And I think that whole experience has made people a little bit anxious of this kind of thing, because, you know, it becomes a question of, all right, yes, we're independent, and now we've been independent for 50 years, but what does that mean for me? What does that mean for my life? You know what I mean? As Jamaicans, in some parts of the society, people don't feel a great deal of agency. They don't feel like they can change their circumstances. And that was what independence was about on a national scale. So the fact that there is still a significant portion of the population that doesn't feel independent, they don't feel economically independent or even in control of their social circumstances and therefore independent in that way, you know, you really have to start to ask, what does independence mean? And then when you look around at the fact that, you know, we're in a lot of debt, our hospitals run out of medicine, you have these kinds of things that happen, you know, it's very bittersweet. But I think that that's a very Jamaican thing, to tell you the truth. That was one of the things that I definitely wanted to say to you about Jamaica, is that, you know, I studied in England, I studied in the US, and I've done a fair amount of traveling. And one thing that's always struck me about Jamaicans is that, or about Jamaican culture, is that it's very contrary, in that people will, bittersweet is a good way to describe it. People will have a bad feeling about something and a good feeling. So it's like people will be embarrassed about the state of our economy, even relative to some of our smaller Caribbean neighbors. They have much stronger economies than we have, and they love to make fun of us about it. You know, it comes into issues with CARICOM and all of that. But at the same time, we're very proud of ourselves as Jamaican, you know, the fastest man in the world, reggae music, Rastafari, we're very proud of those things. And that doubleness, that, you know, yes, we're ashamed, you know, about the crime and all that, but we're still very proud because, you know, we think we're the best country in the world because of, you know, the beauty of our lands and the creativity of our people and all of this is very much Jamaican. And feeling them at the same time with equal strength. So you'll find that Jamaicans talk a lot between themselves about the problems with Jamaica, but other people that are not Jamaicans, we don't want them to talk about the problems with Jamaica. Only we can talk about the problems. They can only say nice things about us, you know what I mean?
Ko smo izbirali državo iz Južne polobla, ki jo bomo predstavljali v oddaji Južna hemisfera, nam je nekako v oči stopila novica o dodatku k davku na dodano vrednost. Ta je prišel v veljavo na Jamajki z mesecem junijem. Za uvedbo omenjenega davka pa so se živila v osnovni prehrambeni košarci podražila za do 50%. To vrstna davčna politika je tiste najrevnejše v državi pahnila v lakoto. Tudi sicer pa kar 3,2% prebivalcev na Jamajki živi zgolj z dolarjem na dan. Dr. Kinga smo poprašali o davčni politiki Republike Jamajke.
There are two kinds of inequities when you are looking at taxes. One inequity is the one that you just referred to, which is, are wealthy people paying their fair share of taxes compared to poorer people. Let's call that one, as it is called in economics, the vertical inequity, or the vertical issue of vertical equity. But there's another one as well, which is called horizontal equity, which is, do people in similar circumstances pay the same amount of taxes? And an analysis of taxation in Jamaica revealed that the horizontal inequity is much greater. That is to say that a lot of people are evading or avoiding taxes, while other groups of people are paying, are highly burdened. And the reason for that is that governments in Jamaica and elsewhere put taxation on activities that are difficult to collect taxes from. So taxes on income are widely evaded by people that don't work for companies. When you work for companies, you have to pay income tax because it's deducted from your pay before you get it. But if you work for yourself, if you're a doctor or a hairdresser, you know, or a consultant or a hustler on the street, then the government has no idea how much income you make, and they can't tax your income. And that is actually a much bigger source of inequity. And so one of the reasons why a country like Jamaica should move more towards a consumption tax and away from an income tax is to reduce the incidence of that kind of inequity, of horizontal inequities. And if you reduce a horizontal inequity, then the tax on consumption can be low enough that it is not a big burden for anybody.
So the problem is just the taxing policy.
Well, that is one of the problems, and it's one of the easier ones to fix.
Yes.
But there are other problems as well. One of the problems we have is that the way that government tries to promote economic growth is by giving special favorable treatment to particular investors and particular sectors, one, out of a conviction that that is a good thing to do, and two, out of a kind of a desperation to get any investment that you can. But because of these special treatments and because of the exemptions they get and because they get tax holidays in order to do so, it just increases the burden on everybody else who's not so privileged. And so we have a country where lots of investment takes place, but it takes place in sectors that have been favored by tax holidays and not necessarily in sectors that will provide the highest return.
Yes.
A third problem is that the government has not paid enough attention to maintaining infrastructure. So the roads are in pretty bad shape. But to take one example, the water supply, the fresh water supply, is not reliable. And in many parts of the country, there have to be water lock-offs during the summer to conserve water.
Težave, v katerih je Jamajka, se nabere že vse od neodvisnosti 50 let nazaj. Karibska država je po kalupu neoliberalne ekonomije v začaranem krogu ekonomske krize. Zaradi slabe ekonomske politike, te zaradi naivnosti, v katero so izkoriščala gradbena ter prehrambena podjetja, je bila država z letom 1977 prisiljena prositi mednarodni finančni sklad za posojilo. Nastopilo je obdobje ekonomske odvisnosti, govori Nicole Smith Johnson.
That's definitely the case. I think I would go back even a little further than that. So when you're talking about International Monetary Fund and all of this, you're talking about from the 1970s coming forward. I think the original problem is that when we became politically independent, we did not become economically independent. So that my grandfather and my grandmother worked in sugar plantations when sugar was still big in Jamaica. Until I was probably you know, 10 or 8 or 7. And these were still owned by foreign companies. Bauxite is still owned by Russian companies and Canadian companies and so on. So that a lot of the riches that are in Jamaica, we don't own. So even though during colonial times, the whole country was subject to England, right? When we got the political independence now, so that politically we are independent of England, all of the English interests that owned the land, that, you know, had all of the real estate and real wealth in the country, continued to own what they own. So that you have quite a bit of land in Jamaica now that is owned by, you know, someone that lives in England or Germany or wherever he has taken himself off to, and he just owns that land. And it's not owned by a Jamaican. He, whatever wealth comes from that land, he owns it. And a lot of that is colonial legacies. So when you come to the 70s now, and you have the government, this newly independent government, and they get into a financial crisis because of the oil crisis, they don't have any wealth. So much of the wealth is privately owned, and often by interests that are not Jamaican interests per se. So they run into a problem. I mean, that's what pushed Cuba along the route that they went. When Cuba realized that all of their land and all of their interests and everything was owned by people from elsewhere, they said, no, the government needs this because the government needs these things to generate wealth to provide for the people of the country. We didn't take that route. And I mean, I don't know, maybe it wouldn't have been the best route to take. How do we know? No, it's so far gone. But we definitely have an issue where we didn't redistribute the wealth, right? We gave political power, but we did not give economic power. And like you said, so now we have economic problems because we still don't have that economic independence. Over the years, it's just changed hands from the English to the Americans. You know, and increasingly, even some of our Caribbean neighbors, Trinidad owns quite a bit here. China now owns quite a bit here. You know, a lot of the time, the wealth goes right out of the country. It doesn't stay here. These hotels, the wealth goes right out of the country. It goes to Miami, or it goes to Spain, or it goes wherever. So there's a lot happening here, and there is a lot of wealth. But I think that was the original problem. And then, of course, the IMF and all of that is only a later manifestation of that same problem. Because when you don't have any economic power, it doesn't matter if you're politically independent, because you can't do anything. You have to go and sell essentially your power to decide and your power to make policy to another body, which in our case was the IMF. But that's what happens at that point. Because you don't have any money, then we will tell you when you can build a hospital. We will tell you when you can build a school. We will tell you, you know, austerity measures, structural adjustment. That's what all of that means. It means that when you borrow that money from the IMF, take your political independence for a period, or at least some part of it.
Položaj Jamajke je zapleten in negotov. Vse to nam bo nekako strnil Dr. King v naslednji izjavi.
Well, following the liberalization of the foreign exchange market, the removal of exchange controls, there was a massive inflow of foreign exchange. That inflow of foreign exchange was sterilized by the central bank, which essentially means that they bought up a lot of it to rebuild the net international reserves. And in doing so, then they flooded the local economy with too much local currency, and it caused an episode of very high inflation. And that had very damaging effects on the economy. And that whole episode actually seeded a financial crisis, which came along in the late 1990s, and that further damaged the economy. So the whole process was actually handled quite badly. Export processing zones were experimented with by the Siaga administration in the 1980s. They set up EPZs for the garment sector, and many of them did quite well. By the 1990s, however, with the opening of manufacturing in China and the increasing cost of doing business in Jamaica, a lot of those garment manufacturers fled to Central America and also to Asia. So the export processing zones collapsed.
Okay. Let's go a little bit further. Let's go into the year of 2007. Along with the world crisis, also in Jamaica, the crisis appeared, especially from the year 2007 till 2009, as we read. Along with this, the International Monetary Fund came up with a loan in amount of $1 billion and some dollars. It seems that Jamaica is kind of circling from crisis to crisis. We would like to know the situation that the people of Jamaica are in concerning this crisis, because it seems that from a decade till decade a crisis appears and it destabilized the whole situation, and probably has much effect on the growing rate of crime in your country.
You know, that's actually a very good summary, and all I can do to improve it is just to add some detail. I mean, when the government in the 1970s closed the economy, it led to an economic crisis. When the IMF came in and imposed austerity measures, that was another economic crisis. In the 1980s, we got hit by a very bad hurricane that destroyed a very large part of the country's capital and residential stock. That was another crisis. There was the inflation crisis in the early 1990s. There was a huge financial crisis, a very costly financial crisis in the late 1990s, where many banks failed and cost something like 40% of GDP. And then there's been a debt crisis pretty much since then, which brings the fiscal accounts to the brink of collapse and the threat of default very often. Added to which, as you mentioned, was the global financial crisis of the last several years, 2008 to 2010-11. And so, yes, it is true that even from here, even from within the country, it seems that Jamaica just muddles from one crisis to the next. And when you look at the macroeconomic data for Jamaica, it supports that view, that the Jamaican economy has not had a period of sustained economic growth since the 1960s. It probably is the slowest growing economy in the world over the last 40 years. So it has been crisis and stagnation. And as you indicated, this has not allowed anything that would look like a steady improvement in living standards. It certainly is a factor in contributing to Jamaica's social problems, including the relatively high crime rate, although we suspect that there are other factors that come into play to explain Jamaica's crime rate, and so we don't want to be too fatalistic about that. And, you know, it's difficult for a lot of people to live in Jamaica. But the truth is that we do know that many countries in the world have turned around from situations that are far worse than Jamaica's. And we think with the right policies that Jamaica too can do that.
Dr. King na ta način nekako vso krivdo za slabo stanje v državi naprtuje slabi politiki v državi. Jamajka, tako kot mi vsi drugi, potem takem potrebuje ustrezno politiko. Neko pogumno politiko, ki bo to državo naredila spet popolnoma neodvisno in ki bi njenim ljudem vrnila dostojanstvo. Čeprav zdi se, da so vse te krize nekako neposredno povezane z interesom podjetij v karibski državi. Ekonomist Dr. King vso to krizo vseeno neposredno povezuje s neustrezno politiko.
Well, actually, all the crises that I listed when I was discussing Jamaica's economic history, except for one, was created by in Jamaica. The change of policies in the 1970s that caused the economy to collapse was created by the government at the time.
Okay.
The hurricane crises that come from natural disasters, we can't do anything about.
Okay.
But the thing is, when you look at the fact that Jamaica, over the last 40 years, is one of the slowest growing economies in the world, then you can't blame it on others because everybody else is doing better. When you come last in the race, it's not because of the track.
Okay, yeah.
It's not because of the weather. And so Jamaica really has to take responsibility for its poor policies.
Still, can we speculate that the politicians are being put in office by interest of companies?
That does happen to a great extent. Our political parties depend on big private sector companies for funding, and they are often reluctant to make decisions that are not in the interest of particular big private sector companies. And so, yes, that is a problem. And indeed, some of these private sector companies are multinational, but not in the sense that you mean, which means companies that are headquartered outside of Jamaica and invest in Jamaica. Many of these multinationals are Jamaican multinationals, in particular hotel companies that originate in Jamaica and build hotels all over the hemisphere.
So in this sense, we can say that the companies are at fault for the bad policy of Jamaican politicians.
Well, I'm not sure you can say the company is doing what is in the company's interest.
Yeah,
it is the government that is not acting in the interest of the people. So you really shouldn't blame the company for that. You need to blame the government for not carrying out its duty.
Yes. But still, it seems that they fight with the politicians regarding their own personal interest and the interest of the general population.
The purpose of a company is to act in its own interest, whereas the purpose of a government is to act in the interest of the people.
But there's some ethics.
So the company is being faithful to its objective. It's the government that's not being faithful to its objective.
Kljub samo se zdi, da je lokalna politika v Jamajki pogojena z globalnimi pogoji in v skladu s tem z interesom korporacij. Iz prve roke nam je več o tem povedala Nicole Smith Johnson.
I think bad policy is a part of it. I mean, bad policy is also within the context of global conditions. So our story is not all that special. There are lots of countries that have gone through structural adjustments and have gone through all of these kinds of things. But there are other factors at play in a place like Jamaica, We're on the way between Colombia and the United States. So that means that a lot of drug money comes in, and then that introduces a whole sub-state or intrastate, another state in the state, because sometimes the criminals have more power than the politicians. And before, the story was that politicians gave money and guns to the criminals. Well, no, that's no longer the case. The criminals have more power and more money and bigger guns than the politicians and than our police. So you have all of that going on at the same time as you have basically an emasculated state, right? That is so because of bad policy, but also because of global circumstances and conditions and the way that Jamaica fits into all of that.
Yes.
And when all of that mingles, then you get a situation that is very unstable. You know, you talk about anger. There is a lot of anger. There are a lot of people walking around in Jamaica with serious mental issues because of trauma. Because there's high levels of trauma within our inner city communities because of all the violence. You know what I mean? You have kids who saw their mother shot or their cousin or their uncle or, you know, and they have these encounters from very young, and it means that we, in some way, have a whole generation coming up of traumatized children. And then we don't have the kind of infrastructure or funding or anything to give support to all of these people that are having these traumatic experiences. To me, I think also feeds into the crime question, because then when you go into the schools and you hear, you know, a 7-year-old saying to an 8-year-old, hey, boy, I'm not going to stab you up, you know, because of some small childhood altercation. That's what they're hearing at home. That is their exposure. And so he's only going to come out more violent because he's coming out of that background, and he didn't get the support at school because the school can't afford to pay a guidance counselor, and the teacher is tired, so she just beat him when he gives trouble. And we have hundreds, you know, thousands of those. So there's an anger, but it's not a fully articulated anger in the way that you would find in another country. Maybe I'm angry with the state because the state has done X or Y, or I'm angry with this particular political party that is in power now. It's a more general sense of anger and powerlessness, which, as I said, goes back to this independence question, because now we're trying to celebrate 50 years of independence. But so many people don't feel independent as individuals, much less as a nation. You understand?
Prebivalce Jamajke pa probleme, ki jih povzroča takšen in drugačen mednarodni tok denarja, rešujejo na svoj način. Manko kruha in mleka rešujejo s pozitivnim odnosom in iznajdljivostjo.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, and if you look back, we have a folk story or a folk character called Anansi. I don't know if you've read about him, but he's actually, it's originally a West African tale that came over with slavery. But Anansi is a spider, and he's this character who, in different stories, he would be what you call a trickster character. So he would, you know, sort of undermine the rules to try and get what he wants. Sometimes he's nice and helps other people. Sometimes he's a little bit selfish and looks out for himself. But he's this character who is constantly navigating and using different tactics to get through difficult circumstances for himself, right, to make his life possible.
Okay.
And I think that whole trickster mentality, you'll hear Jamaicans say, oh, you know, we're hustlers. And Jamaica is as much, the Jamaican economy is as much the black market as it is anything else. There is what we have on paper, but there's a whole lot of other stuff going on that is very much a part of our day-to-day life, even if it's not reflected in the official economic reports and all of this. And Jamaican people are very much like that. So yes, there's a lot of difficulty and there are all of these hardships, but people are very innovative in finding ways. I mean, and sometimes it's bad. You know, people find ways to get out of paying their taxes too, which is not good. but there is something about trying to make the best of your circumstances, trying to be creative, a little bit cunning about it, which is very much an Anansi type of thing. You can see the continuation between that folk character that is very popular here, popular with children. You'll see images of Anansi in, you know, children's schools and all that all over the place. Everybody learns about Anansi and hears these stories as a child. And I think it does inform our way of being in some kind of way. Bandulu is another Jamaican word for this kind of thing. Hustling, bandulu, you know, all these kinds of ideas. So yes, there is definitely a lot of hardship and a lot of suffering. But, I mean, as anyone can see that observes our cultural forms, and that comes to Jamaica and has the opportunity to spend time here and get to know Jamaican people, you realize that Jamaican people can be quite good-natured towards those difficulties, can have all kinds of really even fun and interesting ways of navigating what could be a very, very hard thing. You know what I mean?
Yes. This the Anansi spirit, he can live through the music, probably. I mean, it's probably important part of everything. And poetry, also the dub poetry, as we read.
Definitely, because, I mean, all of that, both dub poetry and reggae, come out of a kind of improvisational, a kind of using and tweaking and playing with instruments to make them make different sounds from what they were intended to make. And yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think that that's part of the Anansi spirit, that, you know, you might have a guitarist pick up a guitar and he's maybe heard guitars played and seen people playing guitars, but he never went to any fancy music school or anything. He just pick it up and he tries to make his own sounds with that instrument. And then it just so turns out that that kind of sound, you know, strike, which is the base of reggae, is this huge thing. And now people all over are trying to figure out how to do the strike properly, you know what I mean? And it was just this, just a testing out, just a playing around with an instrument. And I think that you can see that in the music and in dub poetry and all those kind of things where there's a kind of playful spirit to our arts, you know, kind of twisting things around, seeing if you can make it do this, what would happen if I tried that, you know.
Yeah, it's a part of pick up yourself, man, or can we say like that?
Exactly, I think so.
Glede na vse slabe stvari in revščino, ki smo jih omenjali na začetku države, v Jamajki trdno stoji načelo Everything is gonna be alright. Več o tem nam je povedal dr. Damian King.
All of this being said, here in Slovenia we always get these good vibes from your country. Let's stay together and feel alright. Can you explain for us maybe the mentality, the attitude of your
yeah, I can. You know, lots of people choose to live in Jamaica. Lots of people who are in Jamaica and have the option of living somewhere else still choose to live in Jamaica. And many foreigners decide to live in Jamaica. The fact is that your material standard of living is only one consideration in determining what is the quality of your life. And I, as an individual, actually, are an example as well. You know, I lived in the United States for several years when I was in school and immediately afterwards. And I chose to come back and live in Jamaica because for many reasons, the quality of life here I find is superior. You know, it's a physically beautiful place with mountains and rivers. And it has an energetic culture. And a creative culture, and it is out of that energy and creativity that comes the music that you're referring to, and the other creative outlets, you know, the dub poetry, and the art, and because of that, it makes Jamaica a pleasant place to live.
Yeah.
And so we choose to tolerate the crime situation and a lower material standard of living in order to take advantage of that wonderful creative energy and dynamism.
Yes. I read somewhere that Jamaica is the heartbeat of the Caribbean.
I think that is true to the extent that when you go to many of the other islands in the Caribbean, when you go to St. Lucia and Barbados and Trinidad and Tobago, you find that Jamaican music dominates the airwaves in those countries as well. And so I think from a cultural point of view, what you're saying probably is true. And this is not to say, of course, that there is also not a vibrant culture and wonderful product coming out of those other countries. I visit them from time to time. And, you know, Trinidadian soca music is wonderful, wonderful music.
ekstremizem je tako širše prisotno v državi, v srčju Karibskega morja. Celotni mentaliteti se pridržuje tudi Nicole Smith Johnsonova, ki zaključuje peto edicijo Južne hemisfere.
Right now, as a young person in Jamaica, I'm actually quite excited, regardless of all the things that I told you. Because it's almost as if, because the situation has become so difficult, so hard, that people have, or at least young people, there is a lot of move now in culture, in you know, the NGO world and in that kind of thing. A lot of young people are coming back and they really want to contribute to Jamaica and they really have positive things to say. We went through even a period where a lot of our music was so violent and was so, didn't have any hope. And now you have a whole new set of musicians, artists, sculptors, all different kinds of people. We just, about a week ago, we wrapped up the largest arts festival in the English-speaking Western Hemisphere, which that's great. That's great that Kingston, the festival is called Kingston on the Edge, is hosting that. Interest in that, and people have really, I've seen a lot of goodwill and a lot of desire on behalf of people to come forward and contribute to the country and to take a hard look and see where they can give something back. Like I said, I studied abroad. And, you know, for many years, you know, you study abroad and all of your friends, they want to stay in America or in England or whatever. And more friends have been coming home. More and more people are coming home to try and give back and contribute and build. And so there is a good energy coming from that. There is quite a bit of hope that we can get through this difficult period. So that's definitely there. And, you know, just what you get in Slovenia, that vibe that you're talking about, that's there as well. Because even though you walk on the road and people are suffering, people, you know, a friend of mine came to visit me the other day, an American girl, and she said, people are always singing here. And I never even noticed it as a Jamaican, but she was like, you know, we went to the gas station and the lady behind the counter was singing. And I was walking on the road and this man was singing out just loud in the street. She was like, it's so weird, you know. Did you ever notice that? And it wasn't until she said it to me, I'm like, yeah, that's true. People are always singing and, you know, performing. And that's very much there as well. Like I said, going back to that original trickster figure, there's a lot of adversity, and I cannot say to you that there's not, and I can't say to you that there are not a lot of people that are suffering. But there is also this other side where the adversity causes people to pull together and help each other. Another experience I had, a friend of mine's aunt, every Sunday she cooks, you know, a huge pot of food, and she goes down to the Supreme Court in downtown Kingston, where there are a lot of homeless people gathered. Yes. And she goes and she just, you know, feeds these homeless people. And a young musician went and saw her, and he was like, you know, I really want to help you. And more people started carrying these pots down there, you know what I mean? And those things happen all the time, too.
There's a lot of solidarity between your people.
Yeah, people, there is the crime and there is all of that, but, you know, even when that robbery happened in the back of my house, the whole community came out and to help her, and are you okay, and everybody can help. So there's that happening as well. I mean, I used to work in NGOs, that's non-governmental organizations, for a couple of years, and there's a lot of really committed people working in those areas as well. There are a lot of really good projects that are happening in those areas as well. And so it's not that there's nothing good happening, it's just that we want to grow it.
Globalization, to a large extent, is actually removing responsibility from people within their own locality to take care of themselves.
We know that people do not know who rules or why and how he rules. And yet they know that there is a power that certainly rules.
And we travel 1,000 miles in an hour and a half. We have traveled through whole areas of existence which we have not necessarily gained. We will pop into a Hindu village, but we won't know a damn thing about that Hindu village.
If you push that all the way, you'll see what it means is that we will increasingly tend to inhabit all of these areas in depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera. Vsako drugo sredo poročamo o južni polobli. Točno opoldan.